I have a message tonight. I wish everybody in the church was here tonight. But we're just going to declare that you're the recipients of it. Let me move this over just a hair. Because we're going to get into some stuff tonight. Depending how far we get, this may take us three or four messages to get through. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Things are starting to swirl in the realm of spiritual occurrences. And in the swirls, you can't go by what you feel. You can't go by what you think would be the thing to do. You've got to hear God. And the only people that survive the swirls, is like I say right now, I'm seeing. And I see like a whirlpool swirling, but it's not just swirling one direction, it's swirling over here and swirling there. The only way to come through the swirls is to be able to hear God and obey. Swirls are so strong, so deceptive, that you cannot follow God in a religious fashion. You better know how to hear Him and be a person of prayer. Amen? Or else you'll go down that big ceramic swirler, but who knows where, right? Where there is weeping of and gnashing of teeth, I'm telling you. Are you ready for the Word tonight? Turn in your Bibles. Yeah, I've got four different sermons here. I got very much of each to cover. Let's go to Job chapter 15. Job chapter 15. And let's go to verse number 31. Let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense. It shall be accomplished before his time, and his branch shall not be green. In other words, there are people out there that are deceived. They think they're in the flow of God, and they're not. Or they think they're serving God properly, and they're serving Him improperly. Amen? There are people out there that are deceived not even to believe in God. And it says there's coming a time they're going to be cut off. They won't even reach green stage. Verse 33. He shall shake off his unripe grape as the vine, and shall cast off his flower as the olive. In other words, he's not going to bring any fruit to fruition. He's going to drop everything. For the congregation of the hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery. They conceive mischief and bring forth vanity, and their belly prepareth deceit. Now verse 33 says there's coming a shaking, where people are going to lose the fruit of what they've been working for. In particular, it points at hypocrites, and even those that, how can I say, are serving God for monetary purposes. Even manipulating the things of the kingdom for monetary purposes. God's going to deal with some things in these end times. A shaking is coming to the world. Go on over to Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. Let's go to verse number 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts. Remember, that's the Lord of armies. It's an end time reference. Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. Now, is anything left out of that? That pretty much covers everything, right? In other words, there's coming a shaking that is going to be inescapable. And he says, and I will shake all nations. Now, what nations are left out of all? We have references in Scripture where God says, I'm going to shake the wicked nations. Or I'm going to judge the wicked nations, right? But here it says all nations are going to be shaken. I would have to assume the United States is in that bunch. Amen. Now, y'all go with me on this thing. I believe some shakings are coming. And I don't believe there'll be a safe habitation for anybody except in the arms or bosom of the Lord. Amen. And the desire of all nations shall come. That's the wealth. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Here, we've read this many times. God says there's coming an end time move. He's bringing the wealth to the house of God, to His church, right? The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. So God says, there's coming a shaking, but out of the shaking, I'm going to raise up my church, and it's going to be filled with wealth and peace and power and anointing. And it will become a harvest center. We understand Isaiah 60 says, arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And then he says, for darkness shall cover the earth from gross darkness of people, but his glory shall be able to rise and be seen upon us, upon his church, right? And then it says, your sons and daughters shall come from far. God's bringing a harvest in the end times. Amen. So I want to spend just a few minutes before we go any further in this message talking about the state of our nation. How many know right now it's a mess? Now, I don't know what candidate anybody is voting for here. I know you guys have probably strong opinions one way or the other, as well as I do. And so I'm gonna write some. I operate, you know, in a logical fashion, and I use a lot of times in my thinking flow charts, decision charts to decide what are the possibilities that can take place. I wanna draw a flow chart of this election. Can we do that? Or the nation's future. We're going to start off with, you know, a year and a half ago, I had a vision while I was in Ghana, and all I saw was a calendar with the date of October 3rd on it. And so we're going to start off on our flow chart with October 3rd. Now, this year, October 3rd is Rosh Hashanah. It's H, isn't it? Help me spell it. H-A-S-H? Something like that. Rosh Hashanah. It's also known as the Feast of Trumpets. Amen? And in Rosh Hashanah, it is one of the two most holy days. It kicks off. It's the first day of the Jewish year. It's the Jewish New Year. And following Rosh Hashanah, including it, are 10 days, or not including, 10 days of searching your own heart and life to see if there's any uncleanness in you. We covered this at length last year when we were looking at October 3rd. Remember that? And it is a time, the Feast of Trumpets is a time of searching yourself for any sin or uncleanness in your life. And it represents a time of God's judgment to separate the sheep from the goats. As well, Rosh Hashanah itself, the beginning of the new year, is believed, according to Hebrew tradition, to be the date that Adam and Eve were created. That's interesting, isn't it? So they established that as their new year. And so this year, it falls on October 3rd, which is the date I saw on a calendar a year and a half ago. And so I'm interested to see if anything takes place this year. Do you see this? And so this is also kicks off the Feast of Trumpets. Right? Is that correct? And so we have coming up in November, a month later, an election. Whenever you see a flow chart and you see a diamond like that, that means it's a decision point. There's a yes or no, or which direction are you going from that point question. And in this election, we have a choice of two candidates right now. There could be others pop up, I believe. Really, there's more, but two primary candidates. And we will see in the next 2 months whether or not other candidates jump in, others are removed, or what happens. I believe there's a lot of chaos that's going to take place between now and then. A lot of jumbling around. So we have, because I don't want to tell you how to vote, necessarily. Amen. We're going to use some pseudonyms for the people running for election. We'll call one of them Mr. Horn. I thought about saying Mr. Trombone or Mr. Saxophone, Mr. Tuba, but we're just going to go with Mr. Horn. Shh, we don't tell people how to vote. We also have running for election Mrs. Beast. Now we're speaking in codes. And again, we're going to cover some stuff tonight about the direction of the nation. Amen? Now, out of this election, unless things shift, because really there's other candidates I believe may pop up on the scene, even if there is an election. Right now, it looks like Mr. Horn or Mrs. Beast are going to be elected President of the United States. Now, I'm of the opinion, personally, this is my opinion, if Mrs. Beast is elected, this nation is toast. I believe the Supreme Court will be stacked, and it'll take 100 years for this nation to possibly recover, if ever. And of course, the rapture is going to take place between now and then anyway, in my opinion. So, if we go this direction, let me get my chart out. If we go this direction, can I throw something in? I looked up the word Clinton in the dictionary, just out of curiosity, to try to find the origination of that name. And it says it's believed probably the word Clinton came from the word cliff. So if Mrs. Beast is elected, we're off a cliff. If we go this direction, America is toast. And I think judgment lies before us. In fact, let me take this on out here. If America's toast, we are shaken with the world. Remember, all nations shall be shaken. I believe it will take us so far into depravity as a nation, and so much, how can I say, assault against the church, that America will be shaken like every other nation. Amen. And the result of that, well, I'll get to that in a minute. However, if Mr. Horn is elected, if you know who it is, don't tell your neighbor. We don't want to give it away. we need to find out if he's going to act in a righteous fashion. Many believe he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Talking about many ministers believe he's a wolf. He's really going to destroy the nation. Other men and women of God believe he's sent of God, like King Cyrus was, to set the people of God free. He's a deliverer. I don't know. Do you follow me? So the question is he a righteous man or not? If he is not, if that's a no, then we get more of the same, which means more homosexual agenda pushed down our throats, more using the government to shut down the church and to persecute the people of God, more attacks against the pulpit, and we could go on and on. So if he's not righteous, we're going to get more of the same. And we'll end up shaking with the world. So right here, this is kind of a no-win situation. If it follows either of those paths, at least for the nation. If he is a righteous man, and I'm hoping that he is, I'm praying that he's able to see clearly and not get caught up in the lies of deception and of the political realm. If he's a righteous man, then we will see turnaround. Do you see that? And I believe if we see turnaround, America will be used to shake the world. The world will still be shaken. In other words, this goes from here like that. I ran out of board. I need another board on the end here. America will be used to shake the world. And guess what? The world gets shaken. But this time, America won't be one of the primary nations being shaken. And scripturally, that's a possibility, although it will be shaken. But it's one thing to be shaken, it's another thing to be destroyed. Amen. And I really don't believe America's going to be destroyed, but I do believe it's going to be shaken. So with this shaking, I need to come down here, and I'm going to work this direction now. With this shaking, there's a key aspect of this. As the shaking takes place, are you righteous or wicked? Amen. Are you with God or against God? Because the Word says that when the shaking takes place or the storms come, if your house is built on a rock, it'll stand. But if it's built on the sand or built on humanism, built on worldly expectation, it will fall. So during shaking, it's important to know which side that you're aligned with. If you're aligned with the wicked, this would be a no, not righteous. Then what lies ahead? How's that for a flow chart symbol? It's tribulation. I mean trial, tribulation, hard times. If you're aligned with the righteous, then what lies before you is revival. which leads to party time. Which leads to financial inversion. Etc. That's all prophesied as part of the end time inversion. Amen? And what's also prophesied is the harvest of souls. And I'm going to write that in here. And souls coming in. So, where are the souls coming from? Now, there's tribulation and there's great tribulation. Are you following me? I'm not talking about the great tribulation yet. We'll just call this hard times. That'll confuse people. Got ahead of myself anyway. So where do these souls come from? They come from a decision tree right here. Are you guys following this? Like I say, I do this all the time in my thought processes. Sometimes I write it out. And I've already been through this for some time mentally. But I thought I might show you how I see things proceeding in a written fashion. So here we've got people going through hard times. They've got a choice. Will I repent? Will I turn to God when I see the light shining on the people of God? Will I be one of the sons and daughters that come in? Isaiah 60, right? If the answer is yes, welcome to the family. If the answer is no, now we have tribulation. And even more opportunity to repent during the tribulation. God's a merciful God. Gives people many opportunities to turn toward Him. Right? I'm so glad He gave me more than one shot. For the saints, what lies before them is rapture. And you know what comes out of rapture? We go up. So here we have, I believe, a flow chart of the most likely possibilities between now and the end of this time of the Gentiles. Do you see this? And you can say, well, I'm for this one, I'm for Mr. Horn, or I'm for Mrs. Beast, or whatever, and you know, you're banking everything on whoever gets elected. But the problem is in every single scenario, we still go through the shaking. It's whether the whole nation goes through at the same level or not as other nations. But all nations will be shaken. So only if you have a relationship with God, only if you know how to hear His voice, will you escape and go through revival and party time and inversion and blessing and rapture. So don't be putting all your eggs in one basket of an election. Do you see this? Now, I will tell you that I find this interesting, that October 3rd kicks off this. And that word Trump or trumpet appears in Scripture 73 times. Actually 73 verses. Sometimes more than once. And when you see the word Trump or trumpets in Scripture, it always is indicating an important gathering or event. And when they went to war, they sounded the trumpets. I find that interesting. Again, I'm not saying, hey, this the Word says it's in there, so it's got to be how this is going to happen. I'm not even going there because I don't believe it. But I do find it interesting. You see this? So, my goodness, what's the chances of memorizing how I wrote that up there. I want to look at some more shaking verses. Can we do that? Psalm 18. I've got friends, close friends, that are convinced Trump will be the savior of this nation. I've got other close friends that would swear he's about to take the nation down the tubes. He's going to destroy it. And I don't have a word from God on it. I do know this, personally me. I do know one can no way turn out good, and the other one has some hope. So I got to go with hope myself, amen? But you choose. I mean, there are other factors involved. I mean, such as one's pro-abortion, one's not. Amen. We want to go into that right now. Psalm 18, are you there? Verse 7. Well, verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook. See, when the enemy starts to persecute you, it kicks off a shaking of the earth. I personally believe that this shaking is going to be instigated through persecution against the people of God. Amen. If not in this nation, it will be in many places around the world. Who is it that ISIS is killing? Christians. Christians, Jews, and homosexuals. Yet you don't hear anybody proclaiming that in most of the media, right? It says, the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills were moved and were shaken because he was wroth. Look at this. The foundations of the earth were shaken. This is no mild tremor. You know, I find it interesting that Jesus said, in the end times, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, and there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. Did you know that Oklahoma's just been declared the most earthquake-active place in America? Oklahoma is having earthquakes all the time. They're pointing to the fracking. I don't know. That's what they're claiming. The point is that would be the one of the last places you would expect. And they are being shaken all the time. I'm from Kansas. I've never known of an earthquake in Kansas, yet they had one last month. A fairly strong one, 5.4, something like that. And shook virtually the entire state. I believe a shaking is coming to the world that are going to break down foundational pillars of power that have existed for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Amen. Why? Sometimes you got to tear things down to build it back right. Some stuff you just got to rip apart to build it back how you want it. Psalm 46. Are you getting anything out of this? I really hope I didn't offend anybody tonight, you know, politically. The truth is, we need to go together into this shaking as one, praying for each other versus be concerned about who voted for who. Amen. Psalm 46, verse 3. Well, let's back up. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I tell you what, there's some troubles coming. Amen? It's going to take some troubles to get people to wake up and turn toward God with all of their hearts. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now that's a major shift if the mountains are thrown into the sea. Right? I mean, that's Noah's Ark type shift. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Now understand, the mountains, Jesus talked about the mountains being thrown in the sea, right? Those mountains represent whatever's standing against you. World powers, world seats of power, demonic seats of power. God says it's being thrown in the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Talking about this major shifting, this major shaking. I believe this is an end time psalm. Because look at verse 4. There is a river. Oh, hallelujah. With a speedboat flying right up it. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. God's got a river. He's going to have his people soaring up. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The tabernacle is a place of meeting with God. It's a place of communion with God. And God said, in the midst of all the shaking, I've got a hiding place for my people in my tabernacle on the river. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What an awesome God. God is in the midst of her. So if I'm in the middle of the boat in the middle of the river, then God must be in the middle of me. Or I'm in the middle of him. We're abiding one with the other. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Oh, listen to me on this. It says here, this one in the river with God, talking about the church, I believe. God's in the midst of her. It says, God, well, first, she shall not be moved. In other words, when everything else is shaking, you won't. The wicked will be shaking in their boots when the shaking takes place. We won't be. And it says, God will be our help. Now, can I put your heart at ease on something? One of the greatest attacks of the enemy is when you're going to live by faith and you're going to believe for money or healing or breakthrough. The enemy always says it's going to take too long. Oh, God won't come through until you're out of money. Or God won't come through until you're on your deathbed. Or God won't come through until all your relationships are destroyed. Amen? And so, the enemy tries to tell you that God's going to be late or delayed to make you think you've got to go through hell before you see restoration. How many have had that happen before? The enemy's told you that. I mean, time and time again. Oh, if you sow that seed, you'll be without and you won't have whatever it is forever, and you'll have to be in lack and begging and walking and everything else and borrowing, because God won't bring the hundredfold in time for you. The enemy always says that. Amen. But I like what it says here. It says here, God shall help her, and that right early. In fact, in the Hebrew, that actually means when the morning appears. Joy cometh in the morning. In other words, in this shaking, God's rescue is going to come early, not late. It's not going to be as we're holding on the last knot of a frayed rope that as we're about to let go, God comes through and rescues us. It's going to be when the shaking first begins, we've got comfort, we've got supply, we've got provision, we've got peace. Don't be concerned about the shaking if you know Jesus. Amen. Know that God will be there early. I'm going to start confessing God's here for me early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. I mean, that's beyond shaking right there. Melting is everything being destroyed, right? The Lord of hosts, that's the Lord of armies, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. You know, You know, when you're just believing to survive, when a nation's being shaken where the people can't even find food or water or shelter or deliverance from the pestilence or plagues, you know what? It'll cause wars to cease. Amen. I mean, why do you want to conquer a nation that has the same shaking that you know you're experiencing? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That's the result of the shaking and us coming through it. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. What a psalm. I believe that's an end time prophetic psalm for the shaking that's going to take place. And I'm telling you, where God's taking the end time revival is church. Mary had a little lamb sermons aren't going to cut it anymore. Sermonettes for Christianettes aren't going to be enough to get you in faith where you need to be to see God move in your life. It's time to practice believing God. Amen. Speak the word and watch it come to pass. Psalm 60. You see why I wanted the whole church to hear this? They may get it back in some pieces. Psalm 60, verse 1. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Here's the shaking again. Here are people crying. Probably ones in religion saying, God, why have you let us down? Amen. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Here religion, I'm talking about religious Christians are saying, God, why is this happening to us? Aren't we Christians? Just be calling yourself a Christian may not cut it in these end times. It's going to take faith. It's going to take belief in the supernatural provision of God. So here's a people that want to know why is this happening. But look at verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. That thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. I'm telling what God's got a banner over us. A banner over us is love. And we're going to be delivered from this entire mess. God has spoken in His holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. And he goes on. In other words, this is the inversion taking place. The property's coming over to the hands of the people of God. We're in the midst of the beginning of a major shaking in the world. Again, I mentioned it. I didn't know if it'd be October of 2015, October 3rd, or October 20. 3rd of 2016. I didn't know. Maybe it's next year. I just know I saw that date. And I'm holding to that I saw that date. And I'm curious to see how things start to align in the world. But there is no way. Listen to me. There is no way this nation goes through the next election. Whether we go through it. There's no way this next election takes place without a major dramatic shift in this nation. We got people saying if Trump's elected, I'm leaving the country. Others saying if the panic crisis is elected, then you know all hope is gone. I didn't offend anybody with that one, did I? Amen. You heard enough from me by now. Hopefully you're okay. Things are about to change. And like I said, you know, a month or so ago, I'm not playing the game of offense. I'm not playing the game of division. Patty, can you run and get my iPad out of my bag in my office? I'll keep teaching, but I want to look up something. I want to read something to you. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And let's go to verse number 18. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. God is coming back to shake the earth, and one reason is idolatry. Men are worshiping things, activities, entertainment, more than they're worshiping the Creator God of the universe. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. See she from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for who were therein is he to be accounted of? All right, now pause everything for just a minute. I'm going to try to look something up. You guys have heard me mention this before, but my name is not supposed to be Shoop. My actual name was supposed to be Smiley, S-M-I-L-I-E. My grandfather, whose mother had died of a botched abortion, my grandfather's father was dying of consumption or something like that, knew he was about to die, tried to adopt his kids, who were Smileys, out to the Smiley family, and no one would take them. But the Shoops took my grandfather and he changed his name and swore he would never communicate with the Smileys again. He was like 7 years old. And let's see here. So my mother took upon herself to research the family name. And it turns out my great-great-great-grandfather settled in this nation. In fact, it tells right here. He was born in 1741 in Ireland, I believe. Now, born in Ireland, settled in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and he was elected to the 13th Congress in 1812. Anyway, he was one of the ratifiers of the Constitution. He was friends with Benjamin Rush and Benjamin Franklin and was first congressman to Pennsylvania. There's a whole network of people that are his descendants in the United States that honor his activities. And so I looked him up again. I'd looked this up before, and I think I even shared this once before. I looked up his webpage while I was at my uncle's, who should be a Smiley as well. He's also a Jack Shoop. And if you go to Wikipedia, it's got a little blurb on him. And it says he served in both houses of the state legislature. He represented Pennsylvania in the U.S. House from 1793 until 1795, and from 1799 to 1812. Smiley was a prominent Jeffersonian and was identified with the Quid branch of the party. In 1806 and 1807, how many know this is 50 years or 50 years before the Civil War? Plus. In 1806 and 1807, during the debates over the abolition of slave trade, Smiley was among the most outspoken against the evils of the slave trade. He argued that slaves illegally imported after 1808 should be freed and that slave smugglers deserve the death penalty. Neither provision was adopted. That's the main thing they say about him. He wanted slave traders executed. And that's been my family's opinion the entire time I've known. Are you following me? So I'm not playing that hate game. But I believe the shaking may involve a bunch of it. Remember we talked about the charging of the atmosphere. The gross darkness. Anger, hate, distrust. Can't go there. My ancestors, possibly yours, fought to bring unity to the nation. And I'm not throwing it out. Was that okay with you? It blessed me to read that. Because all I'd ever heard from my family is as far back as you went, we were all drunks and worthless. So I was glad to see we had actually a good start. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 11. Verse 10. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now it's interesting to note that even in the Old Testament, back when the Old Testament declared that Jews should not even have relations with unbelievers, that God said there's coming a ensign of the people, which would be Jesus, who the Gentiles would come to. God put in the Old Testament the Gentiles coming to the cross. Amen? Praise God for Him inserting these passages in the Word. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set His hand again the second time to recover the remnant of His people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam of Shinar, from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. Again, I find this interesting. God says, the Gentiles shall come to Jesus. And then He starts naming nations they're going to come from. Assyria would be Middle Eastern descent. We find the passage again. Cush is what we would say African descent. These nations represent different races. Shinar and Hamath and the islands of the sea would be probably more Caucasian or European. And the Word declares they're all coming to the cross to be made one family. I like what Paul said. In the church of the living God, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, nor bond nor free, in other words, slave nor free, man nor woman, nor any nationality we can throw in. We're all one under the banner of Jesus Christ. And I believe on that boat will be people of every color, every descent, every nation, all recognizing that that's all behind them. They're now one in Christ. I'm not white. I'm Christian. I think color of skin shouldn't be a factor in the world myself. But in the church, it especially shouldn't. That should be so far behind us, it's not even consideration. As well as any offense tied to it. Go down to verse 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel. Some of you are outcasts, right? And gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Go on down to verse number 15. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. I'm telling them the shaking's coming. Remember the river I saw, how it opened up behind the revivalist boat, and everything was destroyed? God here is letting us know He's going to shake that thing to the seven streams. He's going to swallow it up. Verse 16, and there shall be a highway for the remnant of His people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that He came up out of the land of Egypt. God's bringing forth His remnant people in a time of great shaking. Are you still with me? Isaiah 13. And let's go to verse number 13. Therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of His fierce anger. And it shall be as the chaste roe and as the sheep that no man taketh up, they shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one to his own land. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed in pieces before their eyes. Their house shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. Now this is talking about the Assyrians coming to punish Israel for their idolatry. But I believe we have a representation of a lot of what's going to take place in the end time shaking. In fact, it's what ISIS is doing now, which is a type of the people of Assyria. A type of the Medes bringing such destruction to the world and to people, especially to Christians. Things are not going to remain like they have indefinitely. Amen? And it's going to be important we know how to cleave to our God and cleave to this Word and say, but God, Your Word says, and I'm standing on Your Word. Coming a time we're going to be all in this thing. I was getting ready, right before I was getting ready, and I flipped on the television, and on ESPN was the World Series of Poker. And I don't play poker, I don't gamble in any fashion, never even bought a lottery ticket, not going to, unless God gives me the numbers. Not expecting that one. But I'm intrigued by the World Series of Poker competition on how they bet, how they can read each other. I know a lot of them have a demonic assistance. I mean, they can pick up what the other person has and all the stuff. And I had it on, and of course a guy is thinks he has the best hand, and he's all in. He says all in, which means he's betting all the chips. You can only play the chips you have on the table. He's betting all of his chips on that one hand. And whoever wants to stay with them has to match that pot. Or at least put in what they have to match it. And God is raising up right now all in people. All their finances, all their time, all their energy, all their heart are being invested in the kingdom. Because God said you'll love the Lord God, your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, he's about to, I mean, we declare it, but now he's about to call us to it. Well, do you really? How much are you willing to set aside based on love for me? And that group, he's going to elevate above the flood. Amen. Isaiah 17. Isaiah 17, I want to go to verse number 4. In that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax thin. In other words, they're going to be running low on finances and on food. And it shall be as when the harvestman gathereth the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm, and it shall be as the as as he that gathereth ears in the valley of Rephaim, yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it, as the shaking of an olive tree. Two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the outermost or outmost fruitful branches thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. There's coming a shaking that's going to shake the fruit out of people's lives. Only just a little bit will be left, enough to glean on, enough to survive on. Gleaning was for survival. At that day shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. He shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, neither the groves nor the images. And he goes on talking about there's coming a day that a shaking is going to take place that's going to turn people to God. What I'm trying to get across tonight is a shaking is about to take place. And it's all through the Word of God. Actually, I think the word shaking was in Scripture. Just shaking, not counting. Shaking, not counting. Trembling, melting, all the other. 110 times, just with the passage with shaking in it. So we're talking about potentially hundreds of verses that deal with a shaking apart of everything. And most of them point to the end times. I want to make sure I'm right in the plan of God as this all takes place. Let me go one more verse. Ezekiel 37. Now, Ezekiel 37 is right after chapter 36, which is all about revival. I love Ezekiel chapter 36. But in chapter 37, God gives him a vision of a valley full of dry bones, and he tells him to prophesy to the bones, right? Well, let's look at it. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones. And caused me to, you know, that thought totally astounds me. How many have ever seen a valley full of dry bones? I mean, I've seen a lot of cattle skeleton, right? I've seen some deer carcasses. I've never seen a valley full of bones of any animal. But these are human bones. Apparently there was such devastation, such a war took place that they just took the bodies and threw them in a valley. And they rotted away and the bones were all that were left. I mean, that's what it appears in the vision. Whether it's real or not, we don't know. But in the vision, it's a valley full of dry bones. I can't even comprehend that. Yet it's taken place in the past. Have you seen the videos of Auschwitz? Of what Hitler did with the Jews? And they would bulldoze the bodies into the ditches? Just unfathomable. But he's in this valley of dry bones. Verse 2, and he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. In other words, that was beyond his faith level. But he said, maybe you can do it, God. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now we've already established it was beyond his faith level, but God tells him to prophesy anyway. Now there's a lesson in that. There are probably lessons in that. But God in these end times is going to call you to prophesy that which you can't even fathom. He's going to call you to start speaking forth provision and deliverance and victory and things you can't even comprehend it could take place. You may not even be able to imagine your kids could ever be set free from the bondage they're in. Yet God will say, just speak to the bones. Prophesy. Start speaking life. Can't imagine your relationships restored. You can't imagine being out of debt, much less prosperous. You can't imagine, you know, having a new car versus a broke down one. You can't imagine ever being totally healed. Start prophesying. Go beyond your faith and begin speaking what you desire and what God would have you manifest. Well, I just can't imagine God would heal me of these things. Speak it. You speak it long enough, faith will develop. Amen. And you have not because you ask not. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Now see, he's prophesying this. Now I don't know about you, but that would take a lot of faith. You're looking at a bunch of dry bones. Not just dead, they are bones, and they're dry bones. They've been dead a long time. Can you imagine the local newspaper? Prophet, so-called prophet, commanding bones to live. That would stretch your faith beyond. Yeah, God had him do it. I'm telling you, he wants us speaking, prophesying our future right now. I come behind a no good thing. Everything I put my hand to prospers. I cannot be defeated. I will not quit. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. How ridiculous that must have sounded to him to say. But he's just obeying God. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And he did it, and there arose a great army. I believe God would have us interceding right now and speaking forth that the dead, dry church rise up and become a great army. That people come out of deception and they come together in genuine Holy Ghost faith inspired unity. Amen. And I like it. The bones came together bone to bone. I'm just curious. Did all the bones that come together belong originally to the same skeleton? I wonder if you got maybe somebody else's elbow or somebody else's foot. Amen. And maybe whatever bones were thrown in there, well, hey, just there's a place that needs a head. Just jump on there. Needs a skull. Regardless, God's about to unite us together as one. There'll be no walls of distrust, no fear, no holding back, but total unity in the end time revival of this church. We'll all be prophesying the same thing, that God meets all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And I am going back to where we started. I'm convinced that whoever's elected will have some effect on our future, but will not stop the shaking from taking place to some level. God said all nations will be shaken. When, I don't know. How, I don't know. I just know it's time to be with God. Did you get anything out of this? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Shobro sandabakarabasi. I'm just checking for French fries. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you. Glory to you. Thank you, Jesus. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We've got to keep that before us. Right now, that's really all that matters, is we're people of vision. Everything else is going to happen. It's going to happen. Understand, our prayers will have an effect. But we're not going to change the verse that says all nations shall be shaken. Amen. Therefore, we've got to keep first things first and keep our eyes on the prize. Refuse offense. Refuse lethargy. Stay filled. Father, seal the word in us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some neck and share the love of God. Be a blessing.